SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
Whether it's alcohol, drugs, gambling, or eating disorders, according to stats, nearly 25% of the population has addictions related to something. And addictions take a massive toll on our relationships. And we're talking about it today with author and counselor Stephen James. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You know, have you noticed that the state of addiction has been changing over the last 10 years? Or is this what things have always been like, but we're just hearing more about it?
It's both and. There's always been addiction. You know, human beings are really creative in the kind of things we can find to be addicted to. And there certainly seems to be, with opioids and other forms of mood altering going on right now, there seems to be a big increase, especially in the United States, in addiction.
Now, Stephen, what have you learned about how addictions develop?
The definition of addiction really is rooted in an idea of being invulnerable to feelings. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to feel sad. I don't want to feel ashamed. I don't want to feel lonely. I don't want to feel powerless. And so I want to change how I feel by doing something or ingesting something or injecting something that's going to change my mood, right? What we don't intend to do is for that thing to become addictive, right? We don't intend for it to own our lives. We're just trying to feel better. When someone wakes up one morning and says, you know, a year from now, or 2 years from now, I'm going to wreck my car, lose my family, and end up in jail for DUIs. Like, that's no one's decision, you know? It's something that happens, it creeps in over time until it's kind of taken over someone's life. So it's really the beginning of it's trying not to have painful feelings is where it starts with.
We're talking about hope in the age of addiction today with Stephen James, and he's an author and a counselor. When we want to help find some freedom and restore our relationships, we have to acknowledge that we have a problem, right? And addiction is something that a lot of people deal with, but they don't really own the fact that they have an addictive personality or that they're addicted to a substance.
Well, you know, the number one addiction in America is sugar. You know, if you look at our grocery stores, the ring on the outside of the grocery store is not sugar. So vegetables and meats and cheeses and produce and, you know, dairy, that kind of stuff. In the middle, all those aisles in the middle of the grocery store are 1,000 different ways to ingest sugar, right? That's the number one addiction in America. Probably fast behind that is your cell phone, right? So if you don't think you're addicted, try to go without caffeine or sugar for a little bit. Right. And try to not look at your phone for a little bit and see what starts to happen to you. You know, I was just out in you guys' part of the country a few months ago. I took some guys on an adventure tour out in St. George, Utah. We went down to the north rim of the Grand Canyon and rode side by sides. And it was went up to Bryce and Mount Zion. It was awesome. And we took everyone's phone away, though, for 4 days. And guys were having phantom vibration feelings in their pockets. They didn't have a phone and they were feeling their phone. Right. And so I say that to say, I'm not saying you don't need to drink caffeine and you don't need to eat sugar. And you don't need to have a phone. It's not a black or white thing. What I am saying is that you are addicted to something. And when those addictions start to creep into your relationships and start to impair your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others and your relationship with God, it's become a really big problem. Right. And so to be honest, and like you said, admit to yourself that there are things in your life that even though you've tried to stop doing them, you keep doing them. And why do I do the things I don't want to do? And why do I do the things, you know, I hate? That idea is what addiction's about.
We all want to take authority over our thoughts, but it's hard. And we're talking with author and counselor Stephen James today at SOS Radio. And when we're talking about addiction and we're talking about the way it relates to our personality, I'm reminded what the Apostle Paul says, where it's like, I don't understand why I do what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. And I do what I hate doing. And for so many people that are in a struggle with an addictive personality, it's like you want to break free. You want to put it behind you, but they just feel powerless. I mean, every day feels like a losing battle for them. What do you suggest, Stephen?
One, I would just want people to know there's a reason we titled this book Hope in the Age of Addiction. It's that you don't have to stay trapped in addiction, right? So you need to know that there's help out there. And you need to know that you're not going to fight this problem on your own, that you need help. And you can't pray your way out of it. That you need a specific kind of help. Like if you think there's something wrong with with you and your relationship with a substance or behavior, then there probably is something wrong and you need to get help for that. And so reach out for help, like church, counseling, addiction treatment, 12-step meetings. Like, there's lots of help, and there's not one kind of help that is suitable for everybody. You might have to go look in several places. That's why in the book, we've filled the book with stories. One of my favorite parts of the book is these stories of people who've actually found healing and recovery from things like sex addiction, alcohol, drugs, codependency, depression, anxiety. Like, they have actually found freedom from those things, but it's not necessarily a straight path. It takes a little bit of effort and a lot of practice to learn to live differently outside of our survival mechanisms. You know, we can't say no to what hurts us until we have something bigger to say yes to. And you said a second ago, like, we want to take our thoughts captive. That's one of the challenges about addiction, is it's not a thought disorder. It's not because someone's thinking is wrong or they're not uneducated. Addiction affects us on so many different levels, but like neurologically, it affects a part of our brain that is not a thinking part of our brain. It affects the limbic brain, limbic system, and the brainstem. Both those parts of the brain don't have thoughts. They actually inform what we think, you know? And so it's like, it affects our thoughts, it affects our feelings, it affects our psychology, it affects our spirituality. Like, addiction attaches to us in some of the deepest places. And so any solution we look for has got to address all those areas, our biology, our psychology, and our spirituality.
So, Stephen, when it comes to breaking habits, like, you find that you're doing things that you don't want to do, and you're like, I need to break some habits, and you try to go without, and you do good for a couple of days, and then you crave that thing again, and maybe you can go a couple of more days without it, and then you crave it again. And it's like, what do we need to wrap our heart and our head around in order to get to a place where we can break habits that have had a stronghold on us?
I think one of the things we got to start with is the admission that being addicted or having idols would be another word for it, right? It's part of the human experience. It's not good for us. We're not made for that, but we are made to worship. And, you know, addiction and things like that, and bad habits that end up owning us, are just misplaced worship, right? We're looking to this thing to make our life feel more manageable. And so it starts with the recognition that addiction is not badness. It's humanity. It exposes our need for a bigger God. It also exposes our need for more community and more relationship, that we can't beat addiction alone. We need support. We need encouragement. We need love to get through it. We need patience. And we also need to learn that our feelings aren't our problem. Like, feeling sad is not a problem. You'll get over it. Like, you'll move through it. Lonely isn't a problem. Though we're made for relationship, you know, loneliness tells us we need relationship, right? So without the feeling of loneliness, or without the feeling of hurt, or without the feeling of sadness, or even shame, like, we can't really live the human experience, because all those things have gifts to us. And so, you know, addiction really, as I said, is a way to try to manage those. So, you know, learning to tolerate your feelings is actually a great way to begin the process of healing from addiction. I was biting my nails the other day, and I bite my fingernails, and I can't not bite my fingernails. You know, and I'll go talk about it a second ago. I've made commitments to not bite my fingernails. It doesn't really affect my life that much, right? But it's such a picture of what addiction is. It's like, it's this unconscious process of, I'm watching an action adventure movie, I will eat all my fingernails off because it's unconscious. It's happening. I feel stress and anxiety. I start chewing my nails. Addiction works on the same process, right? So to recognize that it's in all of us, and we all need to begin to admit and deal with the things that shape our life, whether it be drugs, alcohol, the big ones, sex, gambling, those kind of things. But there's also smaller ones like codependency or rage or workaholism or, you know, performance-based identity stuff that's all rooted in the same processes of addiction.
You know, we all know that we have bad habits with our phones, and we spend way too much time in front of screens, and it's not good for us, but it's interesting with our kids doing so much online learning in this season. I think as parents, a lot of us are really concerned. We're talking with Stephen James today at SWIS Radio, and he and Chip Dodd just wrote a book called Hope in the Age of Addiction. But Stephen, when we're looking at our kids' situations in front of screens all day long, and then not seeing their friends in person as much, and then wanting to chat with them online or play on a video game online with a headset and a screen, or they're texting online, doing FaceTime and things like that, What should we as parents be thinking about in regard to strategy if we don't want our kids to get pulled in some sort of addictive personality game?
Every electronic platform device made in the last 25 years was designed by social psychologists to be addictive. So famously, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs neither let their children have tablets or phones when they were young because they knew what they were designed for, right? And so these things aren't real good for our brains. They're not real good for our human connections and relationships. And I have four children, you know, 15 to 20 years old, and they all have phones, you know, and I'm sitting here talking to you and I've got a telephone, an iPad, and a laptop sitting on my desk, right? You know, it's so that knowing they're designed to be addictive and they're designed to steal your attention. They're trying to rob your attention because the games and the apps are monetized by holding your, they're selling your attention. The only two industries in the world that call their customer users are drug dealers and the computer industry, right? It's so let's be honest, like these things are designed to be addictive and certainly they're not good for children. I think we're going to find over time is that, you know, just like that we used to let children smoke 100 years ago, you know, we had 10, 11, 12, or 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds smoking cigarettes. That was like, wasn't a bad thing. No one thought about it, right? And now we know that's bad and it's against the law. I think we're going to find over time that our relationship with technology is actually malforming the human heart. And it's really harming us. And there are actually children in Korea dying of video game addiction. They'll play and they'll get dehydrated and they won't get up and go get a drink of water and they will die of dehydration. Now, there's treatment centers in Korea, and they're about 15 years ahead of us on a technology front that treat teenagers and young people for phone addiction, right? And so I think we're starting to see that. So, and my children are all upstairs right now in the age of COVID learning on technology platforms, right? And so it's really sad. It's a difficult dilemma. But I do think we as parents have to lead the way by us being aware and fasting and taking time off of media. It's a real practice. If you and your family don't take one day off of media right now, just try that. Just pick a day. You know, a weekend day or a Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Wednesday. And just don't do social media and don't do technology. Don't do email. Like just email is one of the least productive things ever invented. You know, no one's ever changed the world answering email, you know? and so to really think about your relationship with that fundamental technology and how it's designed by scientists to be addictive, to rob your attention from your life. And take a day off, take a week off, take a month off, you know, unplug. It'd be really good for you.
We're talking with Stephen James today at SWS Radio, and he's an author and counselor, runs a consulting company out of Nashville. Actually wrote a new book with Chip Dodd called Hope in the Age of Addiction. And Stephen, breaking free from the chains of addiction is one thing, and then there's these reciprocal effects of addiction. They're broken relationships, and sometimes mending those relationships, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time to build in some reconciliation. I mean, where can someone go to take those first steps to restoring a relationship when there's no trust there?
Probably the biggest tragedy of addiction is for every person in addiction, there's 2 to 3 people that are directly impacted by that person, usually family members and loved ones. And so that's what's so damaging about it. Addiction doesn't just harm one person. It harms a whole system of people and shapes them forever and ever and ever, right? And so when trust is broken, to me, one of the best definitions of forgiveness is this, is a recognition that the person that harmed me doesn't have the power to heal me. And so once I quit asking the person who's harmed me in addiction to do something to change the harm they've created, and it's my responsibility to begin to heal from that. And what do I need to do to heal from that, right? It starts to actually rebuild a sense of how relationship is possible with that person. Now, it's actually impossible to be in any kind of sustained relationship with somebody who's in active addiction because their primary relationship is their substance or behavior that they're mood altering on, right? And so the grief of broken relationship because of addiction is real. But once someone's out of addiction, trust is not earned. You can't earn trust. Trust is a co-created act of two people risking with each other, taking risk, you know? And so the picture I have is like two people leaning in towards each other from a distance, putting their hands up or they're holding each other up. That's what trust is. And so the only way to begin to build trust is to begin to risk again with that person. And so it's a really difficult thing, right? Once trust has been damaged in a relationship, you know, how does a person begin to earn trust or build trust or create trust back? You have to begin to risk with them again. And you have to be wise in how you do it, right? So everybody who's in relationship with an addict who's in recovery or not in recovery needs to get their own support because they are damaged and wounded by, whether it's a child that's an addict or a spouse or a sibling or a friend or a parent. Like if you're in relationship with somebody who's an addict, you've been harmed and you need to get help in getting healed. And you need to go to people who know about healing work. Just like if I have a hurt arm, you know, I don't go to a foot doctor for my arm. I go to a specialist who's going to help me with my arm. So you need to go to the specialists who are good at relational healing work.
We're talking about how to find freedom and restore our relationships with Stephen James today at SWS Radio. And he and Chip Dodd actually wrote a new book called Hope in the Age of Addiction. Thanks for checking in today, Stephen. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.